Now, doing nighttime jogs was one of my favorite things. It was really nice to be out by the streetlights, and I never dared really to go towards a real forest because I kind of thought they were quite creepy. Once or twice I actually got caught out in the forest and it did scare me a bit. I remembered one time that most of my friends had actually gone away and I was basically on my own. So I decided that I should probably do some exercise just to keep my mind happy. Now, my brother had actually went on holiday too, and I kind of regretted not going. The thing was, I went away with these guys before, and I really come to not enjoy it much, and I just thought it would be a waste of money to do so again. A lot of people were telling me to go, but I just couldn't justify the money and time, and heck, it was only going to be about 1 week. Now, I wasn't actually working at this time, so I was probably especially bored. And like I said, most of my friends had all went away on this one trip, so there wasn't much I could do. And I lived at home with my mom and dad at the time, so I'd actually be quite bored and not really have anything to do whatsoever. It kind of sucked where they lived because it wasn't close to a gym or much of anything, and I don't know. I just thought that was really boring for me. So yeah, I was doing one of my regular jogs and I decided to go through the forest on this one particular day. I didn't really check the time and I'd actually originally decided to walk, so I didn't expect to be jogging. But for whatever reason, that bug kicked off on me and I go off into the woods. Now, I spent too long on my phone and the next thing I knew, it was already dark, like really dark. So I was out there trying to find my way back when suddenly I hear the sound of a dog. Now, this thing is barking really loud, like it kind of makes me jump every time that I hear it like that, and it doesn't let up. It goes on for about a good 10 minutes before I realize that it's getting closer, and this thing sounds menacing, and there's no owner chasing it, by the way, so I'm pretty convinced that I need to get out of here. I quickly jump up on the bench and there's an old structure there, and I hear the barking get closer and closer, and then I can see it. Now, I don't know for certain if this is a wolf or not, but my god, does it look like one. It looks much bigger than normal dogs, and within a second I'm on top of this structure. And this thing is honestly like a bat out of hell, but coming straight for me. It jumps up so high that it almost reaches over to get me. And it falls back down again, and I start screaming for help. I scream a few times, and I'm met with only the sounds of the trees moving from the wind, and I realize I'm on my own. And this dog does not give up, or wolf, whatever it is. It's literally trying to climb on top to get me. I go to kick its head when it comes up, but I realize it might bite my foot and drag me down with it, so I decide not to. I don't have any idea how to train myself or what I can possibly do if it comes, so I just get ready to fight basically. Now, this freaking thing does not let up for a good 40 minutes. What's worse is my phone that wasn't very good at the time had completely run out of charge, so it's just me, myself, and I up here trying to get away from this thing. The other thing too is I was quite cold because I wasn't moving much, so I was worried about getting too cold and being in another kind of danger or getting pneumonia. I don't really know how it works, but you can read between the lines of what I was scared of. Eventually, I hear a very loud crash of lightning, and it disappears. I'm too scared to actually look over the edge of this building because I'm certain that it's going to be there again, but it's completely gone. Now, annoyingly for me, there's an inside part, and this animal could have easily ran and hid inside it, and I wouldn't have known. So now I'm stuck with a dilemma. I can stay where I am, or try and make my way out of there, but I know realistically this thing could run and get me. I decide that I don't have much of a choice now, so I decide to dangle down my headphone cable and actually drop my headphones in case it runs out. But nothing happened. I then have a more ingenious idea and wait for the next flash of lightning, which is actually scarily close to me, to illuminate the surroundings just enough, and I can see that this thing is gone. Now that's what doesn't make sense to me. Within a second, no, actually less than a second, this animal completely disappears. So yeah, it was pretty weird that this had happened. I'm very scared and convinced myself that this is the end, and I'm just prepared to go up trees, and while I'm walking back to civilization, I'm always looking for the closest one I can get to. Eventually I make it back to safety, and I ended up jogging home because I was cold. I didn't really tell my parents about what had happened, but I was a little bit concerned about that thing I'd seen. It honestly looked like a wolf, but somehow different. I don't know if it was a new species or what, but I know for a fact that they're not native to the land that I live on, so they 100% shouldn't have been one there, and that creeped me out. Now interestingly, that's not the only scary thing that happened to me when I'd been out in the woods on my own doing some exercise. I remembered that another time I was walking in an area that I thought I knew pretty well when I noticed the path ahead blocked. There's an old burnt out car which is completely blocking my way, and it's quite weird because it almost looks like the car's just been burnt a few seconds ago, but if you get close to it, it doesn't feel warm at all, and there's no people, no fire engine, and not enough of the ground is burnt to be honest. The ground should be burnt completely over, but it really doesn't look like it, and I think this is really odd. Not to worry too much though, I have a plan B. I can go all the way around, and that's what I try and do. Now, I make it a little bit further up ahead, and I realise that there's a gate which I should be able to scale over and make my way back to a main road. Now, I have to be careful here because the gate is a pretty big one, and I don't want to get my legs stuck and probably bleed, because that could be just as dangerous. Or obviously I could hit my head, but you get the point. Now I come up to another area that I'm familiar with, and it's just open land. That's when I realise something moving up ahead. I stay completely still for a few seconds and try and figure out what it is, and I can see that it's a person walking. Not just one, there's multiple. There's 5, then 6, then 7 people all walking in a single file line. They're wearing some kind of overalls, but they're carrying something, and I can't make out what it is. Now, I can't be certain, but there's a very large box which they're carrying on their heads. And weirdly, when they're walking, they don't seem to make a sound whatsoever. And this is something that really creeps me out. I actually don't have a clue how they move so silently in this kind of situation, but they did. Whatever they're carrying seemed to be really heavy, but they're not making any signs of struggling. Now, they walk off into the trees, literally, and disappear. The thing I didn't get is the way they walked is literally straight into some really dense, like, I don't know what you call it, but like plants and things. But they should have made noise, and they shouldn't have been able to walk so directly into it. But guess what? They did. And that still freaks me out to this day. So yeah, as you can imagine, for about 5 or 6 years, I didn't actually go into the woods whatsoever. Not really for anything, I just didn't see the point because I actually got bored of it all. I know it looks beautiful and great, but after a while it can become quite the same. But for some reason, I started to get that bug in me again to go back out into the forest and just jog. And what do you know? I ended up doing it quite regular, which is back to the start of my story. It was one of those days, and I decided that I was going to go further into the forest. Now, this was actually during a summer's day, so everything was really warm and dry, which was great. You did have a number of different insects and bugs that you had to be careful for, but that wasn't too much of an issue. I made my way into quite a nice open area, and I jogged for about a good 10 minutes before stopping. I actually should have brought some kind of longer bottoms, but I didn't, so my legs were getting cut up pretty nastily while I was jogging. So I took a while to sit down and just relax and listen to some music, and I had a grand old time. That's when I could smell smoke. Now, it took me a few seconds because initially I thought it was a barbecue, like, don't ask me why, but this is exactly what I thought. And suddenly, I realised that it feels too warm where I am, And honestly, for a second I thought I might have passed away or something, it was that weird. Everything has this glow to it, and I realize that there's a fire, and a big one. Not only that, some of the houses near me have actually caught fire. I look around to see how far the fire goes, and then I realize it doesn't stop. Literally, all around me is fire, and there doesn't seem to be anywhere I can go. I start panicking now. As I look over, all I can see is a very tall wall which protects something. I don't know what it is, it's like trains or whatever, but it's impossible for me to climb it, literally. Even if you're the best in the world at parkour or climbing, there's no way that I'm gonna get over it. Now, the fire actually begins spreading, and it's kind of come in parallel to me. It means it's not going directly to where I am, but I can see any opportunity for escape getting narrower and narrower, and I decide to assess the situation. I quickly take the deepest breath that I can, and I jog towards it. I didn't realize how quickly I'd get out of breath doing so, but I now quickly scan my surroundings. I certainly can't jump through this, and I can't hear any fire engines or anything, so I know I'm in big trouble. There is a kind of canal thing that runs off. I don't know whether it's a stream actually, but I know that that's dangerous too, because the water runs very quick through here. And I realize that if the fire does spread on either side, I'm gonna drown trying to escape. And then I have to catch my breath again, so I sprint back in the exact direction that I've just come from. I now start to scream and swear, calling out for help as quickly as I can. I manage to call through to the fire department, and they say that they're aware of the situation just to stay where I am and that help's coming. They tell me don't move whatever I do, but I say no, I'm gonna move. And I say I'm gonna turn off my phone now, because I need to save the battery, so I do so and don't listen to their reply. Within those couple of seconds that I made the call, the fire actually starts spreading at a much quicker pace now, and it starts to engulf me, and I realize that I have no other options of what to do. I start to get as much air into my lungs as possible, and try and breathe out all of the carbon dioxide that might be in my system. I take one last breath and I dive into the water. Immediately I hit my head and I start bleeding because I've gone into some rocks, because the water's actually less deep than I think, and I'm really struggling to stay afloat. I lose my phone immediately upon impact and I start drifting backwards. Now, I didn't realize too, but again the fire had spread even closer and was actually spreading to the wall. The wall was made out of some kind of wood and it wasn't fire resistant whatsoever. I now realize that there's a small clearing where this goes under the wall, but I don't know what's on the other side because I can see smoke coming from here. I decide that I don't have much of an option and I quickly take my last breath. I close my eyes and I just try and be as peaceful as I can, because if I don't make it, it's not going to make much use panicking now. And within a second, I'm ejected on the other side, and there's no fire. It takes me a while to figure out where I am, because I've actually never seen this, but there's some really old rail tracks here. I quickly surface again, and I go to find my phone, but it's long gone. I can't stay for too long, because the fire is also spreading on the wall, and I can see it at the very top. I eventually beeline it towards where I think civilization should be, and thankfully make it to a road in safety. I never recovered my phone, and luckily nobody got hurt in the fire, but my god, I still have nightmares about this thing. Sometimes I wake up in a cold sweat, remembering the situation that I was in. During the summer of 2008, it was a rough time to graduate from college. I just spent 4 years getting a degree, only to find that the job market had all but dried up. As bummed out as I was about being unemployed for the foreseeable future, I found a deep appreciation for backcountry camping and hiking that summer. Growing up in the Rocky Mountains and graduating from a college in Western Montana, I was not a stranger to hiking or camping, but That summer, it had become an escape to the point of obsession. Now, going on daily hikes and camping beneath the stars really helped my mental health while I was worried about my life purpose and future. It was June, and unseasonably cold and wet. It was even cloudy. The daylight highs barely touched 50 degrees, and at night, it could easily go way below freezing. But despite the weather, I had planned to hike around the Anaconda Range that week, and I wasn't going to let that deter me. My plan for the week, funnily enough, was to hike from Storm Lake, over Storm Lake Pass, and down to Upper Seymour Lake. Storm Lake is a challenge to get to and actually requires a 4x4 pickup and some skilled driving. The road is narrowed and a two-track winding one, pushing its way through thick pine forests. The way was slick with rain, but I made it to the top with a little heartburn. I set up camp on the north shore of the lake and decided to do some fishing. The fishing was miserable. It was cold and nothing was biting, but the best thing about bad fishing is that my thoughts were free to wander while I sat on the shore. The rain was a constant light drizzle and created a natural white noise. Time passed and my daydreams were cut short as a low rumble comes up from a canoe, overtaking the sounds of rain. The rumbling was not like a distant diesel engine. Now that was a little bit odd. There were no roads that go beyond where I was camped. No machinery or vehicles could be up on the canyon. Maybe it's a plane, I thought, looking up into the rain clouds, but the sound wasn't getting closer or further away, and the sound wasn't actually above me. It came from beyond the lake and up into a canyon. The sound was stationary and constant. This was most certainly not a plane, or a truck or bulldozer. All of this wasn't outright scary, but nonetheless made my hair stand on its ends when I sat there listening. After 20 minutes, the rumbling faded away, and I was again left with only the sounds of rain. Soon enough, I caught a decent sized trout and cleaned it and headed back to camp to get ready for dinner. The fish cooked up fine, but to be honest, I hate trout. It's edible, sure, but totally unappetizing. They taste like mud. I ate as much as I could stand and tossed the rest into the lake. I'm now building up my fire for the night. I set back to enjoy the evening bit of whiskey. Night comes fast. The mountain ridge put the sun to bed early, and the rain clouds had actually obscured the starlight. It was dark, really dark. There was the sounds of crackling warm fire and rain bouncing off my tent, which were a great comfort and reason for me to lure into sleep. I remind myself that I needed to build up the fire before bed. I walk over to my pile of scavenged firewood and grabbed an armful. Being away from the fire cracking, I could pick up on that all too familiar rumbling sound which rises and falls in the background. It was growing louder and louder, and closer. I may have had a few many pulls of whiskey, but the noise was definitely ringing up to my camp. I yelled out, "Hey, shut up." Like a switch being flipped, the rumbling sound stopped, and so did the rain, and my heart skips a beat. I realized that isn't actually a coincidence. There was almost an intelligence, something sentient, observing me and responding to my screams, and I wasn't getting the most positive vibes from it. I threw all the logs onto the fire and retreated back to my tent, more on edge than I've ever been before, listening to the fire crackling, to my rapid breathing, and beyond that to the silence of darkness. Before that moment, I had never felt alone and dangerous at the same time. Now I feel vulnerable and alone. Beyond where the firelight faded, I felt that there's actually a million eyes watching me. My paranoia began to subside when suddenly the rain starts again. Not a drizzle, but actually a downpour. I was honestly shocked by this and really glad that I built up the fire, or it would have been snuffed out for sure. My tent was being pushed down by the force of the storm. I thought about bailing to the truck, but I knew I'd be soaked to the bone instantly. Risking injury or death getting over wet is something I can't really risk. I couldn't feel the rain poodling over my tent though, initially, until I focused on it. I now realise that the storm isn't letting up. The urge to get in the pickup and drive away was truly tantalising. I could get my stuff tomorrow in the daylight and spend a few nights in town. But I'd had a bit too much to drink. Driving essentially wasn't going to be a good idea, especially on the muddy two-track road, which would have actually been a death sentence. But I still needed a safer place to stay than a wimpy tent. Grabbing what I could, I ripped open the tent flaps and ran for the truck. I was soaking wet by the time I settled into the driver's seat and locked the doors. Turning the heat on full blast, I hoped that would dry me out. It was going to be a miserable night. I reclined in my chair, then tried to calm my thoughts with deep breathing. The rain isn't letting up though. I was warm from the heater, and I was riding the crest of a good whiskey buzz, and weirdly the fire was still going strong despite the rain, and keeping my campsite well lit. I remembered the truck's clock reading 1:06 a.m. I blinked. It was only a moment, but when I opened my eyes, the rain had stopped. It was foggy and quiet. The once raging campfire was just embers, and there was morning twilight to the east. The truck's clock now read 5:45 a.m. in the morning. That couldn't be right. Almost 5 hours gone in the blink of an eye. I must have passed out. My head was killing me. Now, I didn't feel like I'd drank that much to justify this feeling. I never had it before. I turned off the truck and stepped out to survey the night's damage. My tent was completely flattened. Tent poles were shattered to pieces. Everything was soaking wet. Smothering in the remains of the fire, I quickly dragged all my junk and pick up and toss things into the bed. My hike over the pass wasn't happening today. That was for sure. It was around 6:30 a.m. before I finished picking up camp. As I climbed into the cab of my truck, I heard the rumbling again through the morning fog. I drove out as fast as I could down that muddy road, not once looking back. I've never been back to that lake since. In the summer of 2012, I took a job as an expedition canoe guide on the Boundary Waters in northern Minnesota. These are a massive wilderness area of lakes and land. I was working for the Boy Scouts, and we were based on Moose Lake on the US side. My job was to facilitate a fun and safe multi-day trip, anywhere from 7 to 12 days out. Most of the summer was typical. But one expedition in particular still haunts me as a result of what happened to us over the course of a few days. Here is the account in full. My crew was on the younger side. There were 9 of us total. The maximum allowed in a group per a permit. There were 6 scouts, 2 adults, advisors, scoutmasters and myself. They had wanted to do a 200 miler but didn't have the physical ability, so we had to amend our route. They were bummed out, so I decided to take them to a waterfall called Eddy Falls. It's pretty flat up there, so a waterfall is somewhat rare, but that decision would end up putting us in path of something. We visited the falls and camped near to it. That evening, I had the boys working on camp setup while the advisors worked on fire for dinner. I was collecting firewood in a big tangle of down trees. brush and bramble, and I could faintly hear the falls off to my left when out of nowhere I hear the most unearthly scream and roar that I've ever heard. It stops me dead in my tracks. I was frozen. The second scream is closer, and the third is closer still. I couldn't see anything due to the thickness of the brush, but whatever this was, it was actually coming directly towards me now. By the fourth scream, I could actually feel it in my chest. I got nauseous and involuntarily barked at it. I have never before or since heard that sound come out of my body. The fifth scream, though, actually physically hurt. It snapped me back to reality, and I ran back to camp. My crew heard it too, but what do I tell them? I claimed it was a boar. There's no boars up here, and the advisors knew I was lying, but I didn't call my bluff. After dinner, they went to their tents, and I retired to my hammock about 50 yards from camp. As a rule, I'd always set up my hammock at my head height, so about 6 feet up. I would use a tarp over my body and head to keep the morning dew off and mosquitoes at bay. But the tarp wasn't strung up. That's important. It was just loosely over me. It must have been around 3 or 4 a.m. when I was awoken by what sounded to me like a woman sobbing. Not an outright cry, but a sob. At the time, I'm hearing something walking through the thick brush down past my feet. So I listen, totally still, and I'm as quiet as I can be as it crosses into camp. I could hear the change from the brush to granite rock, but could still hear its heavy footsteps as it walks right through the camp and on towards me. At this point, the tarp is still over my head and I couldn't see a thing. I don't know what to do. I had no time as it was standing right next to me. I could hear the breathing, the loud congested sound. I could smell the musk. I could feel its enormous presence only inches from my body. Just standing there, time to make a decision. I suddenly threw my tarp off my head, and as I did, to my left, I touched this thing's chest. Now it was dark, but I could make out briefly a very large upright figure. The hair on it was long and coarse. It was muscular and impressive. Now, it all happened in a second, and as soon as my hand made contact, it actually bolted back into the brush with immense speed for such a thick thing. Now, by the time I got my headlamp and it was gone, my crew had slept through it all until the sun comes up, and I decided, well, I probably shouldn't mention this. The next day, we moved on a few miles towards base camp and camped on a small island. Campsites on the US side are designated by a fire pit and a grumper, which is a fiberglass toilet over a deep hole. We were just arriving and it was evening. One of the adult advisors needed to visit the grumper, so he starts to walk towards it. About 2 minutes later, we hear him yelling, and he comes running back to camp, still pulling up his pants, and tells us that he's just seen a gorilla run right in front of him. I asked him if maybe it was a bear, and he said absolutely not, that he'd hunted bears for years, and it was definitely not a bear. It was a monkey, and it was about 9 feet tall. At this heightened estimate, I imagined that this was the thing that I saw by my hammock. If I touched the chest and it was 6 feet off the ground, then that puts its head at about 9 feet up. Was it stalking us? Was there more than one? The boys were now scared. Time to mitigate. I suggest a night paddle. No one's sleeping anymore anyway, so we pack up the things that we have and set out around 8 p.m. and paddle by a headlamp for several miles. My plan was to get back onto Moose Lake and camp very near to the base so we could be the first crew off the water the following day. Moose Lake is connected to Newfound Lake by a small pitch and a channel of water that's not very deep or wide. There's dark woods on both sides. We were right in the middle of Pinch when a rock the size of a basketball came flying out of the woods on the right side, narrowly missed the bow of the canoe that I was steering. And there's still no cliff there. This thing was forcibly thrown at us from the tree line. At this, we paddle like hell. We paddle to the center of Moose Lake, tied all three canoes together, and we sat out there all night. With the sunrise, we paddled to base camp and ended our expedition. Now, they did not want to talk about what happened, and I was okay with that. They left for Oklahoma the next day. After they left, I went to work a shift in the canoe yard, helping crews offload. My buddy Justin got back for that day from a trip in the same area that we had been to, in Bear Loop, and as I was helping him put a boat on the rack, I noticed he had a distant stare, almost like a 1,000-yard stare. I thought this was odd, and I say to him, "Well, how did your trip go?" And he said it was all good until they hit Knife Lake / Newfoundland Lake. He said that they thought they were being messed around with for 2 nights on Knife and actually had a rock thrown at them. Sure enough, for a solid 2 weeks after that crew kept coming back from that area with solid stories matching this one. One night, there was a crowd of guides in the staff lodge swapping trail stories, and these encounters came up one after another. You know, the screams, rocks, sightings of apes. Then from the back corner of the room I hear a chuckle. It's one of the old veteran guides who had been there for over a decade. All he said was, "It's about time that somebody else seen one." I asked how long he'd known they were there. He said that he'd actually been encountering them for 10 years. And he said they talked to me. This shocked me, and I said, "Like a language?" He said no, telepathically. The less you acknowledge them, the less they'll bother you, but they can read you like a book. Now, what happened out there is still a big question in my mind. I've always been open to the idea of Sasquatches. Their existence was never a huge stretch for me. But what really sticks with me is the way that the veteran guide spoke of their intelligence and parapsychological abilities. That they can read human emotion as clear as pages in a book, that they know our specialties and our abilities even greater than our own species ourselves.